Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we honor your presence this morning. We realize that the same one who was here in flesh 2,000 years ago is back here again in the form of a pillar of fire doing the same thing. Even churches recognize it, Catholic Church, and no doubt others do too. But we recognize it more than they do by virtue of the fact that we have had the vindicated prophet and vindicated word. Your presence even proved the pillar of fire by actual manifestation on a photograph. And we appreciate all this. And Lord, it is not by a happenstance or by some kind of a fluke that we read the scripture this morning wherein Jesus picked up little children in his arms and blessed them, because we know that when he was here upon earth at Mount Transfiguration, he literally put his arms around those three disciples and bore them up with him. And we know the same thing is about to happen in this day, that you'll pick up your little children of the resurrection, and those that are a part of it by immortality going to the tree of life will pick them up and take them up to the heavenly bridegroom and the marriage supper of the Lamb, where this spirit that's amongst us, even God himself, become incarnate to us. We crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, Lord, that that is true, whether people believe it or not, whether we have the depth of understanding and the reality in our own souls. We know it is true because it's been manifested to be true. And what is true is true, and it's going to go on to the end where triumph of truth comes forth. And we trust, being part of the truth, we will triumph with it. So, Lord, we commend ourselves this morning and thank you for your love and mercy. Teach us, Lord, and may we apprehend the bread of life for which we're already apprehended in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to go back, and perhaps we'll be able to review a little bit of what the brother's questions were that he sent us. And I say again, he's a real fine brother. He studied, and he knows where he's coming from. I'm certainly sure that if he ever came over here, we'd just love to have him in the pulpit and speak to us from his heart, because he's a man that's not afraid to look at things. And that's one thing I told you a long time ago, I admired about Brother Branham. He wasn't afraid to look at things. You know, when people get so narrow-minded, they're beaten down by their organization, their denomination, by their preachers, by their teachers, and they're put in this little narrow confinement, and they're afraid to look. You know, it would be appalling to me if people in this message were afraid to look. In other words, they're not afraid to lose their own thinking. They're not afraid to expand their thinking and say, well, hey, is this going the right way? I remember years ago there was a preacher asked me a question, and so he began giving me some of his understanding. He said, do you think it's this way, that way? And I said, no. I said, see, if you follow it this way, see where it's going to go. And I showed him where it would go plumb off the word. And Brother Branham and the Spirit must have caught that. Because I remember years later, he said, now, Leon, I ask you a question. I said, sure. So he asked the question. I forget what it was. I answered. Now, hold it. He said, right there. See, now, if you believe in what you're saying, he said, watch where it goes. Right off the scripture. Well, you see, with this message, you can always go to the scripture. A lot of people say, well, the Bible can prove anything you want it to prove. Hey, look, that's true. But this is vindicated. There's a big difference if you've got money in the bank or don't have money in the bank. You know, you can see the 92s coming in now. You remember years ago when I was just a young kid, I'd go down and see the new Chevrolet. Now, this was before most of you were ever born even. So just listen, you're out of the picture, but listen anyway. That was the day when they had what do they call that on the knee action? Ha! One or two remember knee action. Anyway, they had the Chevrolet with the knee action, and they had a platform, and they had this off-center wheel. What do you call it? Concentric. The wheel would go boom, flump, and it would make them to show you the knee action, how the Chevrolet would go, so you know, hoity-toity, just like, you know, on a billiard table, just rolling down the avenue, and say, that's great, you know. Well, you know, the thing is, I'd go and stand there, and I'd just think, boy, wouldn't it be nice if I had, it was only $1,200, I think, in those days. Whew, what, $24,000 now? Yeah, that's a lot of difference. Of course, I'm a lot of difference in my age, too. And so anyway, I'd stand there drooling, over the car that I couldn't have. The other guys that come along, they didn't drool. They just took the money out, hit it on the counter, and drove on. Well, that's what I'm talking about this message. You don't have to drool about it. We are absolutely those with money in the bank. It has been vindicated. We have been given the food in due season. We have entered into the former rain, which falls at the time of the latter rain. And every scripture we see fulfilled with its positive power of manifestation. As Brother Branham said so succinctly, he said, why? He said, God interprets his word by manifesting it, bringing it to pass. And you know, that's a that's a pretty strong statement. But when you begin taking that statement that Brother Branham made and applying it to doctrine and going to the Word, you can see serpent seed, you can see rapture, you can see every single thing in the Bible Brother Branham taught, the events concerning and all. But of course, you know that there's no place in there for the Word. You know, let's face it, they're never going to get it. Most, you know, everybody's like a teacher I had years ago, and he was an art teacher, and he was good, but he was stupid. He told us, he said, anybody can be an artist. Anybody can do artwork like this, you know, even faster than you, Brian. I don't think he was as good as you, though. In fact, no, he wasn't. And he said, anybody could. Hey! No use. You could take a shotgun and blow my head off. I could never be an artist. Well, a few months after that big mouth had said that, and there's always big mouths around the country, even we have our problems, it came out by those who were expert, the real artists. You know, the guys that got 30, 40, 50,000 bucks for their painting while they're still living. And that artist said, you are born an artist. Artists are not made. And you know, I talked to a woman. Her name was Miss Shaw. She's a good friend of mine up in Canada. She lived in that region. I was there. And she had her paintings. She was great with her watercolors. And she had them hung in the London Art Gallery. And we'd talk about art. And she would show me pictures that were real as she put them on her, on not canvas now, because they're watercolors, a special paper that maybe like a parchment or something she used. And she said, now, Brother Vail, do you see that blush there? And I would see what she's pointing at. And she said, you know, if you're not an artist and you go and you're going to paint the scenery, if you're not an artist, you won't see it. There was a certain something that she could see because of an innate quality. See, well, it's the same with the scripture. If you don't have it in here, that place in your heart for this word. Now look, don't drive yourself crazy about it. If you haven't got it, you haven't got it. If your folks don't see it, your loved ones don't see it, your old church doesn't see it, that's what Brother Brandon said. Don't go back to your old church and try to tell them anything. So many people always want to go back and, you know, kind of dig up the dirt again. Oh, you're going to find a bunch of worms. And hey, I think it's almost time to quit fishing. Brother Branham said it was all fished out. No, I don't know. You just get a can of worms and no fish. I don't know. I think it's better to just... anyway, before we get to these questions, and we will get them, I want to... The folk that are getting this tape now, they won't have the preliminaries when we had a little dedication here. And I know that some of you think I may sound very stern this morning, but, and I am to a degree, but I love people and I want to see people helped. Now, let me tell you something that you would not know unless I told you. And this is where I'm coming from this morning. And I'm talking to young people. And you're going to do what you want. You're going to do it anyway, because most of you got your minds made up, and I'm sorry for you. I really am. Brother Branham and I were sitting eating one day, and there was a bunch of young girls and their teens over at a table. And he said, Lee, you know what I'd like to do if I could do it? And I said, what are you talking about, Brother Branham? He said, see those young girls over there? I'd like to be their buddy. Now, that's strange. He'd like to go over there and buy them ice cream sodas, and talk with them, and warn them, and show them what's ahead of them. But he said, see, Lee, if I did it, they wouldn't understand and I'd be picked up and thrown in jail for it. And this was a long time ago he said that, years before he died. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a very flaky kind of a guy. You know that by now. I don't see everything everybody sees. It takes me a long time sometimes. And I thought at that time, Brother Branham, I don't understand. Where are you coming from? But he was looking down the road at what lies today. And you know something? Listen to me. You young people, a prophet of God would love to talk to teenagers your age right today. And he didn't dare do it because of the law. Your own parents cannot talk to you today because of the law. And you are wide open for all the guilt and sin the devil can pile. And you need help whether you know it or not. And people today don't seem to think they need help except out of somebody else's pocket. Which means the government will raise taxes until there's nothing left. And 60 years of that kind of junk in Sweden, they're finally turning back. And after 70 years in Russia, they're turning back. And even Greenspan says that he believes that capitalism is not only sound economics, but it's moral. But that's all people seem to want is some handout so they can be more and more indulgent in sin. Now you listen to me. You're old enough to where you had better pay attention to the Word of God and godly parents. And though you may have to keep your hormones, as they call them, under, you had better do it. Because one day it's going to be too late. Now listen, there are marriages taking place in this church. I never married them, but I could be responsible for some because I don't know who I might marry, so I believe in. I don't know if they believe or not. But I'm going to tell you, to be unequally yoked is a very, very serious thing. And if you're a believer and you marry a person that wants to hold you down to prevent you from reading the Word or from praying or going to church, you are duty-bound to divorce that person and never marry again. If you marry, coming out of this message, you cannot break those vows and then grab somebody else. So you see, I know you can look at me and say, well, Lee, you're an old man. Now, you're right. I'm a whole lot older than people think, and I feel a whole lot older than I look, too. Say, well, now that you've lived your life and had your fling. I didn't have much of a fling. I had one woman, and that's all I ever had and all I ever wanted. I never frequented bar rooms, smoked, drank, or anything else, but that doesn't make me a paragon of virtue. I could lie and cuss fast and horse could trot. We've got some pretty fast trotting horses. And my imagination was wicked all the day long. I wasn't a goody-good of any stretch of imagination. I had my fights and everything else. My run-ins. But the point is this. It doesn't matter what my past is. I never have claimed to live the Word of God because no man ever lived the Word of God outside of Jesus Christ. If any man had ever lived the Word of God, we wouldn't need him. That's right. If any man had ever lived the Word of God, or even today with the Holy Ghost can really live the Word of God, we wouldn't need Jesus. He wouldn't have had to die, and he wouldn't have to rise again as intercessor and mediator. But you know, there comes a time in your life when you understand more and more, and you walk more circumspectly, and by virtue of the fact of what you've been into, you warn and admonish people. And the Bible tells us even elders must warn and admonish and help people. So this morning when I talk about these things, I want you to know I'm only saying them because the Word of God says them. And don't take upon yourself a responsibility that you can't handle. And don't take and bite off more than you can chew because you'll pay for it. And as you do, there'll be people around you who will pay that price. Now, I speak as a parent. I have paid plenty of prices for my kids. And yet I have not paid as much as some of you have paid and will pay likely. Because the generation is exploding with this, the power of the enemy and the power of sin. For the church has turned on itself, proving its immune system is completely out of whack. And lupus has gone into the church until the churches are completely destroyed by the word which is Antichrist. So I want to say this, and I put it on tape for a special reason people can get it and understand. Some of these things, what I've told you about Brother Branham, perhaps time goes on, I'll tell you other things that we have talked about privately. Now, going back to this brother in Europe, which I think is a fantastic brother. We reread what he asked the question a while back, but just going over perhaps rapidly. Before we came on earth in a procreated body, in which form were we? Were we in the form of thought, Elohim, or were we in the form of the Spirit? Well, the point of the matter is, Brother Branham said that we were a part of God. He also said that we are attributes. He said we are genes. He also said concerning our soul that our soul came from God, because the soul is the important thing. That's the part. He also said there's a gene in the soul he called inner soul. There are many things that Brother Branham said that definitely lead us to understand that we were a part of God. Now, for instance, let's look at the picture. He said attributes. Now, what does the word attribute mean? It means that which attributes. Well, what do you attribute certain things to then? In other words, you attribute. You give it credit, you see it in this particular sense. Let's say, now here's a little girl, she'd been bit by a dog. And this dog here looks just exactly like a collie dog, which we know collie dogs are not biters. And so you say, well, what do you attribute that dog biting that girl to? Well, the fellow says it's part wolf. It doesn't show, but it's part wolf. You see, what was in the wolf nature, what was there, came out and bit. Now, if we're attributes of God, then he's saying that something came out and manifested. So therefore, for attributes, we are that which attributes. In other words, then, we were a part of that, even the very nature, the essentiality of Almighty God. Now, do you understand how it is, then, that the sheep hear the voice? There's no way you recognize a shepherd. He said the sheep don't recognize any voice but the voice of the shepherd. Why? Because he was there at the birthing. And from the birthing then on, the voice. Now, if you weren't sheep in the first place, you never, hey, goaty, goaty, doggy, doggy, piggy, piggy. It's gone. What can you do? You can't expect the dog to even bark. No, you see, so you got to realize, now the word genes is the same thing. Genes, again, are the same as attributes, because without that, there'd be nothing attributing to what's coming out here. I forget how many genes there are. I guess I could look down this book down here and find it, but I always forget how many genes there are, and they're supposed to be, they always told me, what is there, 23 chromosomes? Now they say 100,000 now is what they say now. I just read an article. There's no... That's why they call this genome is set up all around the world, and they're feeding into it from all around the world everything until they figure they're going to figure every disease and everything. And Brother Branham said, when they come right to it, it's over. Already the churches are saying he's here. It's over. They got the genome set up. It's over. Whether genome or genome, what is it? Genome? Genome, yeah. It's over. People are still looking around. We're before the white throne. You don't believe that, some of you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to say it hasn't sunk into your consciousness. Right? It takes a while. See, look, the prophets prophesied beyond themselves. Preachers preach beyond themselves. You testify beyond yourself. It's only God who never testifies beyond himself, because that is himself. He's the Word. And he can back his Word up, because he and his Word is one and the same. And we are admonished by James that we and our Word be one and the same. And we'll never be that way outside of the life of the Word that's in us. And it just seems to trickle through a little bit. But as I said already today, hey, look. If we had to live this word, there isn't one of us going to make it. No way. Because we're in the body of death. The body is dead already because of sin. And the root of sin was not taken out. The only way to get the root of sin out is for the body to die. I mean dead, plump dead. Bury it. I don't know where people get their crazy doctrine. They're Methodists. They said that Wesley taught the entire eradication as entire sanctification. That's a lie. I never found anything by Wesley or anybody back in that day. The main scream out, as Brother Branham said, was against antinomianism, which was Calvinism gone to the extreme, where they said, hey, you got it made, you don't got it made. So who needs to be born again? Forget it. You're going to be because you are. And you know there's a lot of truth there. But ha-ha, it's just enough truth to deceive you. The lie is in there. You must be born again. And how are you born again? By the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Okay, so while we're looking at attributes and genes called the soul, etc. Sometimes it seems Brother Branham says we were a thought. That's exactly right. He does say it. At the beginning, in that we came on earth directly from the thought to the flesh. No, that isn't true. You see, from the thought to the book, that is to the thought, to the word, making it explicit, making it lie in there, making to the point that the word comes forth, as Brother Branham said, he mastered great-great-grandmother, great-great-grandfather, right? And way back. And he said, a virgin birth is nothing compared to an ordinary birth, that one of the elect of Almighty God, no way, shape, and form, because in the birth of Jesus, he said, put, he made an egg and a sperm, put in a woman's womb, but you and me brought down. 6,000 solid years we're here. And there is what you might call the computer mind of God, the infinite mind of God, tracing that egg and that sperm down, that life down to that mixed rope. Why, virgin birth is nothing compared to that. See? But there had to be a natural election, so God put his life in human bodies. See? And when you consider the male ejaculate, in a lifetime, I forget, they said to go past the sun and the moon, everything else. So in all of that is sperm, a lot of it's sperm, billions and trillions. And God knowing exactly which one, for years ago, they'd say, the Dale Carnegie course, the old guys that bounce up on the platform pretending they're 20 years old, and anybody knew they're 70. So you'd act like, my God, walk up sedately with the king when you're 70, you know what I mean? They bounce up there like kids and they say, congratulations, you won the first race you ever ran. They thought at that time that the first sperm that got to the egg was the one that impregnated. Hogwash. Sperm go over the top, sperm can't get in, and there's a predestinated one that gets exactly into that egg. See? people don't understand a lot of these things, but that's the natural election. And you're not here by chance. You look around and you say, well, Brother Vail, I bleed from this and that. Listen, you just keep your thoughts to yourself and don't express them. Because the minute you start expressing something, that's when it goes into orbit. By your words, you're justified, and by your words, you're condemned. And every idle word, you must give account for. Which means that an idle word means a sitting there idle. It doesn't work. So you got to keep your mouth shut, because the only word that works is the Word of God. And if we're not teaching the Word of God, there's no way you can get help this morning. No, because my Word's not going to help and your Word won't help. No way, shape, and form. Like Jesus said, speak to this mountain. Ha! Talk your head off to the mountain. Well, why? Because a faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can move that mountain. But faith is a revelation. So when you got that revelation, that mountain moves. The same as Brother Branham said. He said, I'll challenge you. If God told me tomorrow morning to raise Abraham Lincoln, he also said George Washington, so we could have a duet. He said, I'll go down to the cemetery, bring the arms of the world, shoot me down if I can't do it. When that man had thus saith the Lord, there was no stopping it. And how are they going to stop us getting out of here? We got the same word. We got the same revelation. You believe the rapture, don't you? Shout voice trumpet. You know what they mean, don't you? You got the same revelation. He said the bride is waiting for the revelation of rapture. And it came. Everybody goes, you know, Mortimer Snurd stuff. God does not have Charlie MacArthur's or Mortimer Snurd's. Oh. You believe for 1 minute you could come from God and be a Mortimer Snurd? No way. If you're a true child of God, you've got enough brains to keep your mouth shut and listen. and think till it gets down in here and becomes real and starts coming forth. And Brother Branham said when it finally comes forth, it's going to be like everyday natural living. Do you ever see anybody flap their arms and fly off to the moon? We've got enough of that Pentecostal hogwash in this message to that. All right. He said here, sometimes Brother Branham seems to say that we were a thought. That's exactly right. At the beginning. And that we came on the earth directly from the thought to the flesh, having bypassed the form of the Word. This is the reason why we should sin, or that we would sin. It doesn't mean we should sin, no, that's true. And have come back to the second stage that was missed, the word logos or spirit. Brother Branham did say positively, your body is expressed, and it's and bypassed that theophonic form in order, and God knew that we would sin. As Irenaeus said, and Brother Branham quoted him on different occasions, he started first of all by saying, deep calleth the deep. In other words, if there's something in here, there had to be something out there. Well, if a man then is screaming for some help, for some salvation, there must be something out there to answer to it. So therefore, the great Creator made what was down here to respond back there. Well, if he was a Savior, he'd have to make us sinners. Well, I don't think that's fair. What are you talking about? When the vindicated word came forth and said, you didn't even do it. Amen. You were tricked into it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you go to a court of law and you find that somebody deliberately put another guy on the spot and wheedled him and wangled him into a position whereby he would sin, they throw the case out of court. And that's what God did. The devil wangled us into sin, and God threw the case out of court and put it all back on the devil. The Seventh-day Adventists come along and say that's a scapegoat, hogwash. The scapegoat was Jesus. The devil deserves what he got. A scapegoat is a guy that doesn't deserve what somebody puts on him because he didn't do it. Why, when you're in this message, you don't even know language. That was a dirty crack, wasn't it? I meant it to be. I'm not pulling my punches for anything. And I'm not, I don't have a mean spirit about it, because the guy I have in my mind, he has the English language down even more pat than I do, because I've forgotten so much vocabulary that I once had, I can't use it anymore. My mind, you know. But I don't mind a mind that way. My wife and I have fun that way. She can't remember, and I always forget. So, all right. You bypass the form of word or the worm-forward body, which is also called spirit. And that was in the plan of God. Because that particular form, you did not have the manifestation or the form that could in any way do anything contrary to what God himself is in his attitude and desires toward us. You just never could do it. Only Jesus could say, I always please him. Because he having had that form, could come on down here and remember all things. And when he remembered all things, he just walked according to memory. See, when Adam was in the first form, a spirit form. Brother Branham in one place said Adam was in the likeness of God. And he said, see, God's spirit, that's likeness. We'll talk about that a little bit before we get further on. Okay. Now, as for us, we have to be formed in the image of the word of the Logos. We bypass the theophany, the Logos word, from the thought we directly came flesh men to be tempted by sin. Here, Brother Branham shows us we were a thought, and we will never be the word unless we were a thought at the beginning. This proves God's predestination. Who is this Melchizedek? This is our book of life. He's right in Melchizedek, which is where we get our major thoughts. And the reason we get our major thoughts in Melchizedek, as I've told you previously, is on the grounds that Brother Branham made many statements previous to 1963. But from 1958, especially 1960 to 63, but 58 to 65, seven solid years. But especially, I say, in 63, when the seals were opened and the thunders came forth, the mystery, some of which were marriage and divorce and serpent seed and so on, which I cannot know the number seven, Brother Branham, never taught us, so we'd just be guessing. But anyway, he did mention someone, of which was marriage and divorce and such as that. And he also mentioned down the line another place about what true eternal security was, what the true baptism with the Holy Ghost was, and the mystery of the rapture, those things positively he declared to us. So what I'm saying is, when you take the concluding messages of Brother Branham's life from the opening of the seals, the seven thunders, where every error was corrected, and every single word of God brought out for this hour and for us. See? Don't come to me with a message about the Jews. I'm not interested in Jesus coming to the Jews. I'm interested, will he come to me and take me with him? He said, well, you're not nice. I am nice. You're nuts. And you're sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong. What do you care what I'm going to eat for dinner? Unless you're just plain dumb, stupid, curious. Well, I can tell you. It's going to be like chicken with the nice gravy on and some dumplings we made. Provided we get home to eat them. Somebody may invite me out and I think their food sounds better than mine. I'll go with them. Save ours for tomorrow. See what I mean? Hey, you got to understand, this is what got that German fellow all messed up. He said, well, brother, this is over here in Zechariah. This is over here. This is over here. What does he care what it says? That's why he said Brother Branham made 57 mistakes. He hasn't got a clue to how the Bible was written. Scribes. Total recall. Brother Branham stood right in the pulpit, and he said, I was different from all the rest because I could tell it exactly as I saw it. And I saw him stand there and tell a man his dream. Everybody gets all whumpered up about Daniel. He stood there, and he told the man his dream. Well, I don't mean to be, you know, smarting off here in the pulpit and being a Mortimer Snerd or something, but the point is the truth. William Branham didn't just tell one man his dream. He told many men their dreams and said, stop it. You made a mistake. Can't you see, brother, sister, where we're at? If this isn't God, I don't know God from a hot water in Eskimo, and I don't want to know him. I'd be so confused I wouldn't know which way to turn. I'm confused enough already. Because I can't get my own thinking under control as much as I should. And my thinking's much, much more under control than a lot of people's are. They don't have a clue to the doctrine. So, all right. But in some other passages, it seems that Brother Branham shows we were existing with Jesus in God's image, in the form of the Word. That's right, it certainly seems that way. At the beginning, we're in God's image. The real, the veil and darkness prevent us from knowing that. Well, if you can't know it, you can't know it. Just let it bypass. Because if we bypass a certain body, and thereby we're limited. In other words, what was actually in us and able to bring forth, it was aborted due to a certain physical factor or something that God was doing, then it's aborted. What if I'm born with my left hand? I'm aborted as far as that's concerned. I can't use a left hand. Now, let me give you an idea here, and this could be kooky as all get out, but you bear with me. Brother Branham categorically said that hypnotism was a trick of the mind and not the devil. I was just going to ask him that very question when he answered it for us the night before I could get to him. And he told about the man in the audience trying to hypnotize him. And so the man smarted off, and God came down and put him out of commission. I guess he crippled him. That time on, the guy was crippled. And he kept writing Brother Branham to do something. And Brother Branham said, I can't do a thing till you repent. Now, hypnotism. They will regress you until the guy... Now, you know Ford, the actor. What's his first name? Not, is it Glenn Ford? Huh? No, I'm talking about the other Ford out of Canada. The guy that Glenn Ford gets that rides horses. All right, as a child, he was psychic, or he knew things. Well, anyway, He was regressed under hypnosis. And under hypnosis, he could play the piano brilliantly. Under hypnosis, he could speak an ancient Egyptian language. And several more. Now, my point is this. Now this is just a hypothetical thing. I want you to just listen to me and don't take it for any gospel truth. I'm just trying to show you something that maybe help you to understand where I'm coming from, where Brother Branham could be coming from. All right. Now, how was this person, Glenn Ford, able to speak these languages if it were not by a supernatural power? It was not the devil, but purely a trick of the mind. I'll tell you how. Because within this stream of life, and this little life that's in you and me, is a microcosm of the entire universe and God Himself. Then would it be strange that under the proper conditions, that life that goes back 6,000 years couldn't produce any language? See? That I, through my life stream, God knows where I came from, except from Adam, picked up in those 6,000 years. See what I'm trying to tell you? All right. Then the same thing I'm talking about, except under certain conditions, you and I could never, ever have what lay within us way back there. And it won't be hypnosis that does it. It's going to be the resurrection that does it. Well, when you die, you go to this theophanic form, as Brother Branham called it. Now, the word theophany is not true, and it is true. Because if we're a part of God, and we go back to what we missed, then it is a theophany, because we are gods, we are lesser gods. Actually, we're the children gods. Demigods. What you might say, but we are not God per se. And remember, the only begotten Son was one of a kind. And we were in Him. I don't understand all of that. But, so, what we were back there, we haven't any way of knowing, and we don't even need to know. So forget it. Just be happy that you were back there doing what the Bible said you were doing. That's all. See, you weren't running around trying to follow Lucifer and get all messed up. You were up there, and we'll just keep reading anyway. Jesus said to disciples that He was with them before the foundation of the world. This seems to go together with Job 38, when all the sons of God shouted for joy. He said, Job, where were you? And they all came together and shouted for joy. And remember, at that time it says that Satan appeared. And of course, this goes into the place of fallen angels and all those things, but I don't know too much about it. Are we those sons of God, a part of whom rebelled against God, a part of which that whole group, those sons, rebelled against God? Well, we certainly wouldn't. Hey, look, that's what we're looking at. We are not looking at people who were created. When you talk about angels, they were created. We were not created, we were born. And what we were born from and came out of determines the kind of body that is commensurate to that particular life. Because dog life never gives pig life. What they've done to pigs right now, and what was the other thing they combined it with, and made the poor pigs are knuckling over and they're getting sick and everything else. They simply can't do anything with it. You see, always hybridization weakens and spoils it and destroys it. See? By the way, also, there's only supposed to be one type of wheat left in the world that is not hybridized. That's a Durham hard wheat called Kamut that came out of Egypt. Everything in this world is hybridized. Or mutated by something, pesticide or something thrown on it. And we're all part serpent seed according to the flesh. So my Lord, how far can we go in the things of God? Only by revelation. Are these a part? Are they rebelled against God? Well, now, you can call a son of God by creation, but we are different.
So if we were there with all those guys standing around us and they weren't born of God, no way could they be born of God and fall, because that which is born of God cannot sin. See? No, no, no. And they know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. Oh, yes, they're the only ones that do know. The other people they call evil good and good evil. They don't know. We know. See, we know. Vindication. I don't speak from any knowledge I've gotten, any experience I've got. Forget it. If I went back to my experience, I'd be like a kid just playing out there in the nice warm water, a nice puddle, and the nice sun shining. Who cares? Let everything go by. And there could be a tornado coming up to destroy me, or a big ton of bricks going to fall on my head. No, in other words, I'm saying you just childishness is not what counts, and just letting things drift. We have a vindicated message. Now, he said, as are we those sons of God, a part of whom rebelled against God, were we in the form of the pillar of fire? No, only in the sense. If the pillar of fire was there, which we have no record of, we have no record of it. And we are in that because God was in it. What we have the record of, according to Brother Branham, is in the beginning. He said, let us look over the balustrade of time. And we're looking down below, and we see suddenly a light begin to form. And he said, as a child praying around his father's door, the Son of God, the Anointed One. All right, now listen, if you're looking at that, and there wasn't even an atom, there wasn't a whisper of wind, there was nothing, no creation, then what in the world did that light form from? It could only form from God and thereby be a Son of God. And we came the same way exactly, but we bypassed the form. So in the thoughts of God, there became a record. So that we in our due time, as I said in the beginning, down, this one, made it, so down here. You are expressed in due season with the proper attributes and characteristics for this hour. And if you weren't made for this hour, you could not believe this message, period. Ha! And don't anybody ever tell you the chaff gets taken up to in the rapture. Chaff does not get put in the garner. And the chaff is Pentecost. Now, I'm not against them. God have pity on your soul. If you think I'm fighting them or trying to pull a deal on them, I've got nothing to do with it. I never made the cloth for this suit. It's 100% wool. A sheep did it. I'm here. It's what the sheep did. I've nothing to do with that. And the word of Almighty God per se. I just hope it's got everything to do with me. He said, but it seems, in this case, in the form of the Word, we should know everything when we came on earth. See, that's it. You don't. You were aborted to a good end. There's no way you could do it. But it seems that Adam had not the form of the Spirit until he came on earth. Brother Branham, that isn't... Well, all right, you look at the fact he made in his own image in one place. Brother Branham categorically states that image, that it was God being spirit. He had Adam in a spirit form, which you know, and the male and female spirit was in there. And then he breathed in the breath of life when he put him in flesh. And Brother Branham said that was the Holy Ghost. And then he also said that Adam fell from the image. He said many things. I cannot put it all together. I just simply can't tell you. So you are the sons of God of Genesis 6 and 2. We explained that last time. They're definitely human beings, sons of Adam. And they married these daughters of men, which were the Cain line, beautiful women, and so on. All right, I think we got into all of that. Now, and he talks about these people that have come down. He said, so who are these sons of God? Well, that Genesis 6 and 2, Brother Branham, third explained. In Job, I'm not sure. In question and answers, Brother Branham says that these sons of God were supernatural beings created by God and who came down from heaven to earth. These spirits, those angels, were intended to become human beings, the prophet said. Now, the point is this. Intended to become human beings. And what did he really mean about that? If they were intended to be and never became, the only thing they could do is inhabit people. Now, how are they going to inhabit a son of God? Not going to do it. So you got a separation here, and just keep them separate. That's all you want to do is keep them separate. To have all the answers, I don't. They must be stars cast out with Satan from the heaven on earth. Well, we know that. That's true. They were cast down. They know adoration. But they are spiritually rebelled against God. We know that. This began in the heaven, goes on the earth until judgment. We know that. But on the other, but the other stars are sons of God who resisted Lucifer, are the elect who came. Now you see, there's a thing that Brother Branham left very much up in the air. And they are not Genesis 6 and 2 because he explained it very thoroughly. That's where he said the people in the modern, in the fundamental doctrines, they say that these angels that fell pressed themselves into human flesh. And he said, leave. And he says, right on tape, he said, that would make them creators. Absolutely impossible. He said, what it is, it's merely those, the sons of God, the Adamic line got all messed up with the serpent seed line because the women were beautiful and everything else, you know, and they had giants in the land in those days, men of renown, smart people until the very end of time. The smartest age in the world is right today. And what are they? They're weak and they're literally senile in the things of God. They know nothing. So now what you could look at here is when a child is born, Brother Branham says a spirit comes in. Now, at that particular time, could it be that the fallen angels go to serpent seed and the true angels then, which are like spirits that were intended to be and now take on that form? I don't know. All I know is Brother Branham said the soul is the nature of the spirit giving it an atmosphere. Now, listen, you cannot for 1 minute say the nature is the thing. The nature comes from the thing. And the soul being paramount, you cannot then say that the soul is a nebulous, undefined thing called nature of the Spirit, when you and I know jolly well that the Spirit is allowed of God, given of God, but not of God. So then you'd make the soul subservient to the Spirit. Hogwash. No way. The soul gives the nature to the Spirit, which simply means this. And that's not simply an aura. It means, look, if you do not have that word in there, that place for the word, and that life does not come to the word, your nature will never respond according to the word of God. You'll have some other word or some other thing. That's why the two-soul doctrine is absolute hooey when it comes to the way they teach it. Your own nature's got to die. And Brother Branham equated nature and soul together because it is true. See? Until you're born again, that which would emanate as from God could not, because till you're born again, you cannot receive revelation on that word. You may think you can, but you can't. You get all messed up because the Holy Spirit was absolutely given to you. You might know the word. I hope you're following what I'm saying here. So, all right, the only way they could ever be was by inhabiting. And whether the good ones come into us as a spirit and then respond, and are happy, and the other ones are allowed to come in, it's possible. I don't know, because I can't find where Brother Branham became definitive. They must be the stars cast out, and so on. This began in heaven. But as for the others, sons of God who resisted Lucifer, they are the elect, and in different periods of time, to be real sons of God. No, I cannot see that, except as I've already said, if there's a possibility, I do not understand it. Brother Branham called them angels. All those angels who were cast out on the earth were intended to become human beings. The faithful angels led by Michael against the rebel angels led by Lucifer. Well, we know that to be true. So they were not in the form of thought, but they were already in the form of the word Logos Spirit. See, no, that cannot be right. Cannot be right, because Brother Branham said different in 1965. And one of the major revelations was, who is this Melchizedek? There's no way you can go back. Remember your doctrine received its pure form. And remember, the Melchizedek could not be revealed until adulthood and maturity. And could not be revealed until headship took control, which would be at the end time right there. Not that it wasn't coming more and more into the church. But remember, full stature could not come till all came. And he is the Word. So you've got to have a full revelation. That's why it takes a revelation of him and those things which are in him. Okay. When Brother Branham, a soul or a body, heavenly body, left his physical, and that he saw redeemed beyond time, and in particular Sharon Rose, he said, as I looked, here come thousands of times thousands of young men. That doesn't mean millions and millions, I don't believe. Like you use the word thousand times thousands, it'd be thousands, thousands, thousands coming. I know he didn't one place say millions. It could have been. I don't know that he was using the absolute truth as to millions of people, or are we saying like on the grounds of a man looking at them and putting a great figure on. I'm not trying to make Brother Branham a liar or anything. I'm just saying I don't understand everything that is said. So I do know one thing, that when you talk of thousands, thousands, you can say thousands times thousands. It's going to be 1,000, another 1,000. Well, that's thousand times thousand. You could have here 10,000 people. It wouldn't be 100 million people or whatever. That's how your times figures come from. What is 2 times 1,000? It's 1,000, 1,000 added. So you see, I'm not going into roots and things here. And indices. I'm just looking at it. I don't know. But if there are millions, that's wonderful. I believe at the end time there's going to be billions upon this earth that really will be part of the New Jerusalem and those outside the New Jerusalem. And he said, they were white robes and hair hanging down to waist, barefooted, running right toward me. I thought, now what is this? I bit my finger. I said, I'm not asleep exactly, but I could feel. In other words, he was sensate. According to this passage, it seems that Brother Branham possessed a sense of touch, whereas it was his soul, his heavenly body, that had left his physical body. Now, Brother Branham made a statement concerning soul sleep, soul walking. I don't understand it. Soul walking is an ancient faith, tenet, where your soul, when you sleep, moves out. Don't ask me. He never explained it. So I can't tell you. When you sleep, does your soul leave your body? Perhaps it does. I don't know. If he said so, then it does. Under certain conditions, I don't know. So the brother has a right to think this. I don't know. Because looking at your body is merely nothing. Because remember, your spirit animates. Brother Brandon said it's just jerking muscles and nerves. Until that spirit comes in, so his soul could be perfectly gone. But the soul, remember, is just a seed, and got to go back to the body. So whatever. I can't say too much. According to this passage, he, Brother Branham, possessed the sense on it. He saw a physical body possesses the senses, but does the soul or heavenly body possess the same senses? Well, now when he's talking about heavenly body, I do believe what he's talking about, the fact over here that Brother Branham talked about that in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and it says here, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we are building a God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we grow in earnest desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, the being clothed shall not be found naked. So he tells you right there, when you leave here, you're not disembodied, you get to another body. Now, if your brother Branham said the word eternal meant no beginning, then all right, then whatever formed that light proceeding from God, designated now by Brother Branham, Son of God, and in him, God creating everything, because Brother Branham brings that out, then it is absolutely true that if we have a part of God, we already have within us that which produces of itself that form which we should have. I said exactly right, whether you got it or not. Now, the point is this. That's very possible. And that's what you go to. That's why Brother Branham said you heard from your theophany. Talking about rebirth. In other words, what's he saying? Hey, you're getting to where you should be. You're getting lined up. Now, this is a deep philosophy. Don't let it bug you. I don't know too much about it. I can't follow too good. I'm just talking the best I can talk and the best I can do. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at the picture. Now, what does Paul say over here? He says in verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also earthly, and as heavenly, they are also heavenly. And we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Now, above there, though, it tells you in 43, it is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. That's the earthly body in resurrection. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now, I don't believe that this then necessarily was talking of the spiritual body being your body positively that's in the resurrection. I believe in here it is possible to see what Brother Branham took from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. That when we leave here, we go to that other which is strictly spirit. Because God is spirit. And anything, therefore, coming from Him will be spirit. I don't care what form it takes. I mean, you just got to give yourself up on that one. You see? Now, here, for Brother Branham often... Oh, now, talking concerning what Brother Branham felt. Brother Branham categorically said that there was a feeling of love, as I understand it, ineffable love and glory there. But he said when the women hugged the men, there was no physical sensation, which is there, of course, which there must be there in human bodies. And, of course, we're talking about sexuality. And he said it just wasn't there. Now, remember, he said they do not eat. And they do not drink. They do not need to. And so they're very anxious to come back to this physical body glorified because, you see, the plan of God would be incomplete without it. God being the resurrection, He's got to raise somebody from the dead. See, because He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And Jesus could only be what was in the Father. And you and I can only be what's in Him. It's going to go back to what He wanted. So Brother Branham often said that the heavenly body will have the same appearance as the physical body, but will possess none of the outward senses we've got here on earth. Now, if you're talking the heavenly body, which what Brother Branham called the theophany, which we understand how it was something that literally came from that light that was there, therefore eternal, certainly it would have some of the things which we call sensation and senses, but only in certain areas, like he saw up there where the dead departed are. All right, what is the difference between three following bodies? The body of Elohim coming to Abraham in the form of a man. Well, the Brother Branham explained that. He just took some dust, a handful, blew into it, and he jumped in the body, and then jumped out of the body. The body went back to the dust. Jesus' body. Melchizedek's body. Who ate bread and... Well, that's it. It was a human body. That just gives you a picture of the human body. The Bible tells you, don't care about the human body. Don't worry about that which destroys the body. Destroy that which... destroys body and soul in hell. And then he said, don't labor for the things that are to more. Eat, drink, and taste, touch, sense, and smell. But he said, labor for those things which are from above. And lay up treasure. So you see what you're looking at here. When God just went to a handful of dust, and here's a human body, jumps in, and then jumps out and goes, shoom. What's the big deal? See, if you want to make something out of it, it shows you're still thinking with carnal thinking. I ask you a question, and let's get this flat. How come that you and I don't get the baptism with the Holy Ghost before we're born? John the Baptist didn't. I'm just as good as he is. You can't answer, can you? All right, how come the Bible said, Peter himself said, repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they're down there. In Corinth, they received the Holy Ghost and were not baptized in water. You know, God can mess you up so good. Just leave you sitting there with your tongue hanging out like a boot. You know, the tongue of a boot. Only the tongue of the boot's smarter. Knows how to shut up. See, you can't figure these things. Just leave it. You don't even need to figure it. Just let it be. Man, I don't care two bits about it. Now, the next thing is, the Jesus body of flesh came to a woman. All right, Brother Branham categorically says, Mary supplied nothing but the chemistry. She was an incubator. She was more than an incubator. She was a chemical factory that did not provide any life. But she provided the sustenance. So therefore, Jesus, in my books, and the Bible tells you, is different from your body and mine. Hebrews 2nd chapter says he took only a part of it. Didn't take it all. There's no way he could have taken it all and been the Son of God. No way could he have gone to serpent flesh. No way, no way, no way. No way. So what is it here? It could be that he is even different from Adam, because he is that Lord from heaven. And remember, in theology, you in doctrine, you have what is known as the federal headship of Adam, the federal headship of Jesus. But what they miss out in the federal headship of Adam, they think everybody came from Adam when everybody didn't. Everybody came from Eve, and even science knows that now. So there you are. So, okay. But these three bodies of flesh coming from the dust of the ground were destined to grow old, for the earth is cursed. Well, they were destined, but you see, there's such a thing as predestination in what we know as just destiny. In other words, normal course. You cannot go by normal course of nature, because God is above it. And though light may travel in a straight line, God can bend it anytime he wants to bend it. Just like John the Baptist was born with the Holy Ghost. So you want to get angry, you can get angry, it won't do you any good. You say, well, that just proves I can't outguess God. I'm not so smart as I thought it was. And if God wants his way, he's going to get it. So it's far better to believe a vindicated prophet, but don't take it too far in the sense of what you don't understand. If we don't understand, we leave it alone. Now he said, for the earth is cursed. On the other hand, our soul, which is part of the pillar of fire, part of what was in the pillar of fire, part of God, is a heavenly body. It gets it from that very point of life, which is of God, it gets its own depository, just like the egg and the sperm, just got its own body through Mary there. It's got no age and can't grow old. Well, that's true. It never does. That's why it's eternal. It's eternal as Almighty God is. Since God formed Adam through direct creation and all other men came by his attributes, we're supposed to be brought to life in this way without using woman. Otherwise, God would have made a mistake using another means than the first time to bring men to life. Well, that's very true. But you see, you've got to realize once more that Brother Branham said Eve caused an interruption. And the interruption is simply this, as Brother Branham says in Marriage and Divorce. God, he said, will create again not through sex. No, but he himself will take the elements that were in our bodies. He said the cosmic light, the potash, and all these other things, and bring them together by a resurrection. So what was stopped there in the interruption comes back finally. And there'll be a few people standing here, like there was Enoch and Elijah, who will be translated by the very fact that Adam was supposed to go to the tree of life. Ah, yes. Oh, yes, he was. And take it. That being interrupted, now proving God perfect, Alpha and Omega, Hebrews 13 and 8. Absolutely, we're going to have a few people here at the end time. Before the fall, I don't think animals were using sex to multiply. This way of doing is a consequence of Eve's sin. As God forbade human creatures to take of this knowledge, would it have been in his will that animals use the way of multiplying? After the millennium, is there going to be any procreation concerning animals, insects, fish? Is there not going to be a certain number of animals created by God, and that's all? Now, that's a question I don't know. As Brother Branham said concerning whether there'll be children in the millennium or not, he said sometimes it looks like it is, sometimes like it's not. But he said, if I ever find out, I'll tell you. And he told me previous to that, he told me in May when he answered that question in August, that because one shall build, another not inhabit, one shall sow, another not eat, plant not eat. He said there wouldn't be. Now, concerning this question, again, we want to look at the fact. Absolutely, everything was there for procreation concerning the flesh. It was there. But remember, in the beginning, the Bible distinctly says, let the earth bring forth, let the earth bring forth, let the water bring forth, let the water bring forth. And I'm going to tell you something. Water and ground doesn't bring forth anything. It takes life to take the water and the ground to do it. So therefore, they were already there in that particular form, the same as the seeds were, already there. Now, what does that mean? It simply means when the fall came, then positively, every single thing, because they had the appurtenances there already, which, as Brother Branham said concerning Adam and Eve, they would have come to it eventually. Then so would these have come to it eventually under the strict ordination of the Holy Ghost himself. Now, what about the millennium? Well, I simply believe in the millennium, God's going to call back Brother Branham's horse and bunch of horses, and no doubt there'll be enough land mass because it's only 1/6 of the earth is globe is land, 5/6 is water. So by the tap time, who knows what's all going to come back? And will there be procreation? Well, all right, look at it this way. Could there be amongst the animals on the grounds the trees are going to procreate and the plants are going to procreate? Who said there wouldn't be? I don't know. I leave that all to God. I don't have the answer. I only know the millennium is a place of further sanctification. That's where you'll find out. Be happy. Yeah, be happy. And I'm very happy and hope you are too. Where are the glorified saints of the Old Testament? I haven't got a clue, but they're somewhere in a dimension. They're there and they're glorified and they're eating. I bet you, oh, they're, hey, man alive, eating without hernias and belching and everything. You didn't do 1 minute they're not having good food. You've got to be ridiculous. Just because it's in the dimension, you can't even see the air you're breathing unless there's so much smog in here. Or I've eaten too much garlic. Which I haven't. I'm just kidding. Threw that in for the fun of it. You know what I mean? Hey, come on. There's lots of things you don't see. Hey, if I had a television set right now and plugged it in and we have two on the wall there, you'd see what's coming through the room, like Brother Branham said. In the future home of the heavenly bridegroom, Brother Branham speaks of the pyramid whose height is 2,200 kilometers, 1,500 miles. I believe this, since it's said by the prophet, but is really that huge a height. Yep, absolutely. And I think it's going to be terraced and contoured. Absolutely fantastic. Brother Branham even diagrammed from Jeffersonville how it would fit on the North American continent. Right? Okay. Where are we going to be during the millennium and after the earth explodes? I myself, as Brother Branham made a statement, something about being caught away. My own understanding, and I'm not saying Brother Branham said this. I just put it this way. We're caught up to the throne of God, wherever that is, and protected by Him while everything goes up in smoke and it comes down perfect. And you know we're going to be explosion-proof anyway. I've often said one glorified man could turn this world upside down in 15 minutes. You know, people think that what Gorbachev is doing is great, and I think it's great. I think he's a wonderful man for this hour and this age. I appreciate the fellow, and I appreciate what's going on. But I want to tell you, one resurrected person could make Gorbachev look like, well, nothing. You'd have to get a microscope and a mighty high-powered one to do it, to pick him up. He could detonate every bomb. He could drive anybody crazy. Or he could build kingdoms. Just wait for it. Let her explode as long as we come back. And let it even come to the millennium. You get me to the millennium. I ain't going to care two bits from that point on. All right, what can we think of 1977, 14 years later, and of the state of the USSR? I thank God that I've got the... Now, all right, I only know this one thing, that Brother Branham said positively to us, don't think anything of communism. He said, it is nothing. He said, remember, he said, Antichrist is a religious person. And we're talking about a religious system which goes into politics worldwide. And he said, don't you think anything of it. Just, he said, leave it be, because there's nothing to it. It's a bluff and so on. And we found it is. But remember, he also said, there's America. He said, his last vision was the world in craters. And he said, we've got a bomb from Russia with our name on it, and so is the Vatican, and America's going to get it. Well, what does that mean? What do I think about the Soviet Union now? I'm going to tell you something. Do you think for 1 minute those nations that have fragmented from the big boy, that they're going to give back those nuclear warheads? I got a hunch they'll just put them out there somewhere. And when the right time comes, and the right guy wants to rise up, like Saddam tried to do it, and they nailed him down, and he was so close to the bomb one more year, launchers everything. Why, if those guys, if one person gets in power, which anybody can die if he bumped off, and that guy get in power, and he can just, at the right time, just release those bombs, hey, we've got bombs going to hit us. May God get us out of here. It's up to us, in the limited sense of the word. You know, if we're not seed, we're not going to come out of the ground for the millennium. And we're not going to blossom into immortality if we're not seed. But if we are seed, nothing's going to stop it. Nothing can. Especially the elect seed. And remember, the very elect do not get deceived. And that's the thing this brother is looking at, and we look over here in America. These people run around deceiving people, taking undue authority. Say, follow me, watch me. How in the world could I look at anybody, listen to anybody, when I've been with that man? I could name you names where people thought, oh, Lee Dale served the prophet, wrote the books and everything else for him, literally licked his feet if he wanted. Oh, I'll get Lee to follow me. And they found out it didn't work. One guy tried to get me, and he didn't even believe what we believe. And he said, well, Lee, he said, Brother Ben, he said, God doesn't smear his prophets across the road. He thought he fucked. I said, he fed them to the lions, and they were dung on the ground. Don't talk to me. I never talked to the bird since. Do you think I'm tough with you here? Don't any man smart on me, Brother Branham. I'm not a dentist, so I'll pull his teeth with a 4x4. I'm not a doctor, so I'll take out his tongs with a 6-inch lead pipe. I'm just kidding. You know what I mean? Hey, look. If this isn't vindicated, this is not real, you tell me what is. But you better produce. Because I've seen what none of you have seen. And I'm before the white throne telling you. See, you don't believe that like I believe it. I do. And I find day by day I believe it more and more. That's right, and be this man. Kind Heavenly Father, we want to tell you again how we appreciate and love you for your goodness and mercy to us. Your great grace, Lord God, wherewith you have wooed us to yourself. And we looking now through this glass that has been unveiled to us into the Word, see these wonderful mysteries which would absolutely destroy people of lesser birth, not that we think in ourselves are of any birth, but the birth that comes from you, Lord, to see these things and be allowed to look into them and know from before the foundation of the world these great mysteries which Brother Branham brought to us concerning predestination, election, and all of these things that are so marvelous, and to believe them and to be happy with them, whereas so many would be stumbled, and they've never seen what Paul said concerning, for this cause have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. Oh, no, they can't even take that. How could they take these other things? But, Lord, we know that you've allowed, by your Spirit, this understanding to be within us and where it is lacking, O God. And if we're presumptuous, Father, forgive us and help us that we may be not just a part of the Word, but completely in tune with the Word and see that great day fast approaching, Lord, the resurrection and immortality, which has already come upon us. For Brother Branham said, we are in the resurrection. We certainly are. There is no two ways about it. This is just true. And Lord God, may it be so impressed upon us that we walk as men in the resurrection. As Brother Branham said, little piece of paper his son Joe found in the desk, what manner of men we ought to be, how we ought to live so as to meet our loved ones in the resurrection, knowing that this is the hour of the resurrection, we're in it. Now, let us see those loved ones. And of course, we know those loved ones are absolutely those that are loved with you. We know that that's where the love goes. That's where it's all going more and more, Lord. And how wonderful to walk in the light as you're in the light and have fellowship one another, blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us all, and we in fellowship in tune with each other. Help us, Lord, to continue, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of